Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's go to the phone lines now. Nick joins me on the line. Hey, Nick. Welcome to WGN.
Yeah, hold on. Excuse me. I had to sneeze.
Bless you.
Thank you. I'm a truck driver, and I was driving. I work for a staffing company that leased me to another company. I was laid off because of COVID. The job that I had, I just drove. I did not have to unload or load anything. I was paid by the hour. It was a local job. I was home daily. If my company calls me and offers me a job where it's maybe I'll be out on the road 2 or 3 days a week, and maybe I have to load or unload, and it's paid by the mile or by a percentage of the load, do I have to accept that?
So I'm glad you asked, Nick, and that's great. We have Ruth Major on the line as well. She's a labor attorney at major-law.com, Major Law. And Ruth, does Nick have to take that job?
Well, that's an excellent question, and it's a it's a very tough question because it's a lot of times these determinations, it really depends on the specific facts. You wouldn't have to take a job and leave and go to another state, for example. You wouldn't have to take a job that you're not skilled in or that you don't, you know, that you wouldn't be able to handle because of the, you know, you don't have the abilities, the physical abilities, things like that. But, you know, there is an expectation that you will accept, you know, work. And I think that in some cases, the IDS, they require you to provide information every 2 weeks on your job search, your job efforts, and any offers of employment that you've had. And they would have to look at that and determine whether that's, you know, close enough to what you did or, you know, to be something that you should have accepted. So I think it really would depend, and that might be something, you know, to get their view, it might be something you could even call them and ask them about.
You know, Ruth, it's so hard, Ruth, to get people on the phone, actually, right now, in any unemployment offices. Are you finding that people are responsive to that? We had a caller yesterday say that they actually had to call their state senator for help.
Well, we have, you know, we've noticed, I mean, we've been doing a lot more. Typically, we don't do a lot of this type of work, but we've been doing it because of the, you know, the COVID problem and trying to make ourselves available to answer questions for people. And we have noticed that as time has gone on and more recently, people that we're talking to are telling us that they're having an easier time getting through. And I know the IDS, you know, the Illinois Department of Employment Security, has they were actually asking people to call on certain days, depending on their last name, to try to reduce call volume. And I know that they've indicated that that's not necessary anymore. So it does appear that things are getting better because I think we've hit the peak. But of course, with any government agency, there's probably going to be times where things are heavier than others. But it has gotten better.
All right, Nick. So the advice there is to actually call the IDES and get their perspective on it rather than just sort of take a risk and see what the story is. All right?
All right. Well, but if, for example, I am offered a job, like I said, that pays percentage of the load or by the mile, even though I'll be home every night. If I turn that job down because it's not similar to what I was doing, will IDES cancel my unemployment?
Well, so there's a few things. We talked about this on the show before. If you're employed, if your employer reduces your salary by, like, I think it's generally the rule of thumb is like 25% or more than 25%, the IDS will allow you to collect unemployment if you leave the position. So the IDES does recognize that, you know, if people are earning a certain level of income, they don't have to stay in a position if it's drastically changed. And I think they would probably apply that same analysis to somebody who is being offered a much lower paying position or a position that has different job requirements or very different, or having to leave the state and those types of things. I definitely think they would take that into consideration. And it would probably be something that would weigh in your favor and you'd be okay. But, a lot of times these are, you know, people making decisions, and it can vary sometimes from person to person because an individual is going to have to make that decision, and there's no real bright line sometimes on these. So you'd have to know the full, you know, what all the differences are between what you were doing and this other job, and then, you know, figure out how much different is it, and is it different enough to allow you to not accept it and still collect your benefits.
Thanks, Nick, for your call. So, Ruth, we have another call, Joan, who owns a business. And Joan, are you also having trouble getting through?
Yes, indeed we are. We've tried on the computer, and my husband will get halfway through, and they'll kick us off. We've tried by phone. No luck. We can't get through on the phone either.
So who lost a job in your household, you or your spouse?
Well, actually, we own our own business, so we're self-employed, and we just have not been able to get any information or any help.
All right, so if you're unemployed and you're self-employed, Ruth, then the PUA is supposed to step in. Do you might maybe give a high-level, you know, just a one or two sentences on what the PUA is and how who applies and who would qualify?
Okay. Well, the PUA is where the federal government has expanded the types of workers that can receive compensation under the unemployment statutes across the country. So normally, if you're what we call a 1099 or an independent contractor or a gig worker or a business owner who doesn't pay unemployment towards unemployment, you normally can't get unemployment benefits because you haven't been contributing toward the system. But the PUA is it's a federal statute that temporary just for this time period, you know, this year and just a part of this year, that allows people who otherwise wouldn't be eligible to get it. So most of these people are 1099 workers. You have to be people who have worked and have paid taxes. So
we've owned our business for 30 years, and there's never been a time when we have not filed taxes.
Okay. So if you have been, you know, a business owner, you've been, you know, paying your taxes, and you've got the evidence of that, you
right.
should be able to apply. Now, I don't know what the problem is with. So at this point, you haven't even submitted your application online?
We can't even get, like I said, my husband gets all the information, about halfway through the information, and he gets blocked off.
Are you actually applying for the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program? Because as a business owner, that would be the thing that you would want to be applying for, as opposed to the PUA, which is really more, if you're kind of like a sole proprietor. Does that make sense?
Okay, we are a corporation.
Okay. So you want to be applying for the PPP, and the way you would do that is to go to your bank that you have your business relationship with,
okay,
and work with them to get the application filed through them. Almost every bank is major bank is now part of the PPP program, and there still are some funds available for that program. But maybe you're just applying for the wrong program, and that's why it's cutting you off. And I understand that because for my own business, you know, we looked at a bunch of different kinds of programs. And if you don't apply for the exact right one, it can be problematic.
Uh-huh. I will say, if I can jump in for a moment, that I don't think that the system would cut you off in the middle of the process just because you weren't eligible. I would guess that it may be more a problem with your own internet connection and your system that's that's been kind of kicking you off as you're going through the process.
Okay.
Because we haven't heard. I mean, we've actually even helped some people do the applications online, and we haven't encountered that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be that you need to get to another location to do the online application, and it may be that because of the type of business you are and the size or et cetera that you wouldn't be eligible. But at least if you get to a place where you can submit it, it won't hurt you to at least try to see if you are eligible.
Ruth, we're going to take a short break. There are lots of people who have called in who want to ask questions about this, so we know that there's a huge need. Will you stick around with us?
Of course.
We've got Ruth Major. She is a labor attorney with the law firm Major Law. And Ruth, we're so happy to have you. Joanne, you join us on the... Let me start again. Joanne... Welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Elise, and hello, and thank you for taking my call, Ruth.
Sure.
No problem.
My husband is self-employed. He owns a trade show, and unfortunately, his trade show is geared towards seniors, which was the most vulnerable group with the coronavirus. So his last show, until further notice or until a vaccine, was March 11th this year. He is collecting a $600 check, which I think is a care check from the state. He reports in every 2 weeks to the IDS. And then he did not think he qualified for PPE because he is the only person in his business. He runs our business from our home. He pays taxes every year. He's owned the business for 20 years. He did go to our local bank, Fifth Third, where his business accounts are, and he hasn't gotten any help. He also went through the County of DuPage, hoping to get something similar through the County of DuPage, and he hasn't heard from them either. Is he looking in the right places, or is he talking to the right people? What can he do that he has not done already?
Well, so I'm going to, you know, in full disclosure here, I mostly have been focusing on unemployment issues and helping, you know, individuals in that regard and businesses in that regard on unemployment issues. And it seems like your question might be going into other sorts of issues, perhaps dealing with funding. I'm not sure. But he should be, based on what you've told me, I do believe he should be eligible to at least collect the full benefits, you know, for the full 39 weeks of unemployment with the $600 add-on just through, you know, the end of July. He should be eligible to receive the full amount. I don't know what his income was, but assuming that his income, you know, meets the levels to get the full amount, it sounds like he should.
Yes, so, it was, and he did apply for unemployment, but he didn't get it, and of course, he assumed he didn't get it because he didn't pay into unemployment. He was, you know, self-employed, owner of his own business, and so he's just getting this check. So
okay.
Do you think he should go through the Illinois Department of Employment Security again? And
well,
see if
yes, because what I think happened is, he may have applied before the PUA kicked in and the system started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what happens is
right away. Yeah.
Yeah. What happens is to get the PUA, one of the requirements is you have to be ineligible to get unemployment benefits under the normal procedures.
Okay.
So in fact, the fact that he didn't get it, that's going to help him get the PUA. But I think he has to go back and apply again and follow up with them because I do believe, based on what you're telling me, that he would be eligible for it.
All right. Well, I appreciate your information. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right. Thanks for your call, Joanne. Barb joins us now. So, Barb, tell us what happened when you were turned down by IDES.
Well, when I initially filed, I get a small pension. I put that on my application, you know, and exactly where it came from and how much money was, that reduces the amount that you would be getting weekly. I understand that. And
everything went through. I recertified 2 weeks later, and I got that confirmation. And then I get a letter from IDES that says, you may not qualify based on the pension. And, okay, fine, call this number. You can't email. You have to call. I called for days, multiple times. And finally, I just went, there's got to be another way. So I got out my voter registration card to verify my representative. I called the state representative's office. She took the information. The secretary took the information. She says, now it might take a week to 10 days to 2 weeks, but you should get a response. Call me back if you don't. I then tried calling the governor's constituents affairs office as well. And it took me 3 days to get through there, left multiple messages, didn't, but I finally talked to a person, and he took the information as well. And it took another 10 days. And on Saturday, a week ago, I was driving, and my phone rang. So you don't have caller ID because they don't use caller ID. And I answered the phone, and it was IDES. It took... Paul was his name. It took almost 25 minutes for him to manually correct the system. But he was responding to, as it turned out, the governor's constituent affairs email to him. And he did get it corrected in the system. And he said, now you'll get all of your back money, and which I did. 3 hours later, Michael called me from IDES, responding to Governor Representative Villa's email to his office. They were working on Saturday. They did take care of it, and I did contact both of their offices to say thank you for letting them, you know, contact IDES on my behalf, and I wanted to let them know that it had worked. But you shouldn't have to, not that many days into the problem. They should have, if nothing else, set up a system that, you know, had 10 people do nothing but log in calls, take the information on a spreadsheet, and say, someone will get back to you.
Yeah.
Barb, after 100 days. I'm sorry.
Okay. So thank you for sharing all that detail. We're happy that it's worked. I do think that the point of escalating is just something that as a person, as a consumer affairs reporter and somebody who has really spent a lifetime helping people navigate navigable situations.
Tough one.
Right? That's one of those tongue twisters. I think it's really important to say here that if you feel like you're just, there's nowhere to go, there is somewhere to go. You can escalate to the Illinois Department of Employment Security or your state rep's office or the governor's constituent affairs helpline. And that number is 217-782-0244. And we heard yesterday from somebody who said that escalating worked, and now we've heard from somebody today to say that that's also worked as well. And I think, Ruth, that you would probably agree with this, that you really, you know, the ability to just escalate this situation and to talk to people about this and raise awareness of it, you know, yes, we wish it all worked perfectly on March 13th when basically the world shut down, but that's not realistic either, right?
Right. No, I mean, I think, you know, one of the problems that they've had here, obviously, is, you know, the agency is set up to, you know, based on years past and what the normal volume is and that type of thing. And they're not prepared for, you know, like most of us weren't prepared for something like this, a pandemic. So I think they've been overwhelmed. And obviously, the callers, the listeners are very resourceful because what they're doing seems very smart because you can only call and not get an answer and, you know, so many times, and you need to try to get it resolved. So I think what they're doing seems it's smart, and it probably is, you know, the best way to get some sort of action here when it's obviously not working if you keep calling and you're not getting through.
No, I think that's right. Just before, you know, we just have a couple of minutes left in this half hour or a minute left. You know, just with PUA, when is that supposed to expire? Because we know that the extra $600 a week that people are getting with unemployment expires July 31st. Is there a similar cutoff for the PUA?
No, the PUA will go through the end of the year. So that's going to be in place through the end of the year, just like the just like the PEUC, which is the additional 13 weeks that mm-hmm. people get. So that'll all go through the rest of the year. The $600 add-on is what I call it under the FPUC. That's going to end on July 25th.
Right. So when you when people will have that ending, they should really know that then their regular state unemployment would continue, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Ruth, we really appreciate you coming on today and spending some time to sort of go through this. It's confusing, and I think people have been very frustrated by sort of the experience, and especially mm-hmm. because it's just all been so shocking. But we thank you so much for your time today.
No, I hope it helps, and I hope if there's any other questions, I'm happy to come on again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ruth. Ruth Major is a labor attorney. You can find her at major-law.com.